N4DJC.
Good day, Jerry. M0TR, about to doze off.
About what I was about to do myself, I think, so I decided I'd better come upstairs here and see if anybody was on the radio or not. I went out early in the fog this morning. It was pretty rough out there. It was cold, too. But other than that, I did a little shopping, and that's it for the day.
You went out in the fog?
It was real foggy here this morning, about 7:30 or so. I'm down here right on the lake, and it gets foggy in this area more so than it does. It's a little bit higher elevation. It was pretty nasty this morning. It wasn't raining or anything, just foggy and cold, too.
Well, the dew point was down near the outside air temperature here, too. I was surprised that we didn't see any, because that's when you get the fog. But, I just went out and checked on the chickens just now. It's pretty chilly. I got a dryer vent I need to fix, but it requires standing on a ladder, just a step ladder. But my foot, it just gets extremely painful within about 5 minutes on a ladder anymore. And I used to work on them all the time, but I decided to wait till it was a little bit warmer out there. It's 53, and, shows 11-mile-an-hour gust kind of out of the... It's kind of showing out of the west now, but looking up at the sky, it sort of looked like it was all the clouds was moving from the northwest. But it's pretty darn chilly out there for this old man.
Coming from Kansas, that says a lot, because it's cool to me, too. my thermostat, somebody said my thermostat didn't work in the furnace. Don't work so good, either.
Last night, I had the thermostat set on 72, but that back bedroom's down around 69, 70 degrees. I don't like it that cool. I want it to be about 72, like you. So I kicked it up to, or Bernice did, to 74 for a few minutes and then backed it off. It stayed pretty good the rest of the night, but the other day when it was really down there, in fact, it was really down there this morning, Jerry. We had 19 degrees on my weather station here this morning. That's pretty frosty. Everything, all the grass was frozen and everything.
When we got up this morning, we didn't get up until about 7:30 or so. We got up this morning, it looked almost like it had a little bit of snow on the ground here, but it just frost. And like I said, when I got headed down, I headed out to get us a little croissant for breakfast this morning, and it was probably 8 o'clock maybe, and it was 29 or 30 degrees here, and it's not quite as cold here, because I'm only about 600 feet above sea level here. It's not quite as cold here as, the lake keeps it a little warmer down here than it does when you get out from around it, but it's either 29 or 30 when I left the house this morning. That's pretty cold.
Well, I've noticed Greenville, when they post the weather at night, like at 4 o'clock or so, even of a morning, we'll be 10 degrees colder, and they're just 14 miles to the southwest of us. But a lot of times we're 10 degrees colder than they are because they got all those buildings and the concrete and everything. But with GSP, we're pretty close to what they report down there at the airport. Oh, shoot. I just ordered me a couple of calendars, and it's kind of concerning me because usually when you pay with PayPal on there, it immediately you get a feedback, and it hasn't. But I like these CQ calendars, and and they go for like, oh, a year and 3-4 months. I got 2-3 butts left to abide, but I thought I'd have something to do this morning and did that. Instead of ordering them from CQ, I ordered them from DX Engineering. And that might be a mistake, I don't know. But they take PayPal, and I don't think the other one did, but probably should have looked closer. But I don't like it when you don't get immediate response. Usually when you pay with PayPal, it's just bling, and it's right there. You get an email.
And 4WHM.
Go ahead and make one. Jerry's on here, N0TR.
This time they don't ship out until Monday evening. And you won't even probably get anything back from them probably until tomorrow, unless you ordered it Friday or something. But I ordered stuff on Friday and not got any response other than they got the order by regular credit card, but I hadn't used PayPal with them, so that may be an issue with them, but maybe not. If they take it, they're supposed to handle it, take care of all the billing and stuff for us. You ought to hear something from them tomorrow at the very least, but it is a little unusual not to get a confirmation on placing an order with them. Go ahead, Bill.
Hope y'all are doing well. And I agree, usually PayPal usually turns around and sends you an email no matter what time of day or night you do it. You should be able to log into your PayPal account, Tom, and see if the charge is there. If it is, I mean, the email could have just got lost or delayed, but looking in your account, you should be able to see it, know what its status is.
Roger. Well, Bill, that was the next thing I was going to do, but I thought I'd give him an hour or so. But it is Sunday, so Jerry may be right, I may not. But usually most of those places you pay with PayPal, it's just bling and it's right back. But I'll log in up there and see. I'm not thinking there's a breach or nothing like that. I've done that before, and then they said, well, we didn't get the order. It's usually their club-footed website, but DX Engineering's real good, and it was about the same price, and I thought, well, that's the easy way to pay for it. I like using PayPal. It's quick and simple and secure, but you usually do get confirmation instantaneously in an email, usually a couple of them, and then one from the people that you ordered the thing from. But they're a big outfit. They'll make it right one way or the other, and it's not anything of any urgency. Well, I looked at DX there an hour or so ago. I seen all that island off of Africa. It was on CW on 17, but not much else. One of the Azores, it was another one there, St. Helena. And I worked it many times, so I was too lazy to go down and fire up the HF rig and work it this morning. I usually do just for kicks and giggles, but I don't know. I need an attitude adjustment today, Jerry, on this work ethic.
Yeah, work's a four-letter word around here too, Tom. But Bill's right. The PayPal normally is like you get it almost back via PayPal instantaneously. I guess I didn't understand it. If you didn't get anything back from them, that is unusual. Getting something back from DX, usually I wouldn't get it to several hours later, usually even, much later in the day from them. As I said, I haven't used PayPal with them in the past. I don't know how they operate, but they'll make a good one way or the other and just check on it and see what's going on. Well, I hope you and the folks are doing good today. I know it isn't any warmer there than it is here.
I'm good. The Gail and Angie are just getting over COVID, so I hadn't seen them in about a week. I've been waiting to see what's going on there, and just been texting and keeping up my phone with them, but they're doing better. They're on the mend, so it wasn't a bad case. It was a light case, and everybody always wonders, but they they've had their shots and their boosters and still ended up getting it, but it wasn't much more than a sinus cold, so they tell me. So I'm proud of that. But, we're doing good. Just kicking along. I'm going out to get me some propane right now, and after I do that, I'm going to go to the house and finish cleaning up my desk a little bit, and that's about all I'm going to do today. M4WHM.
Yeah, well, you're a working man, and so you deserve the downtime on the weekends, Bill. Well, we went to the grandsons yesterday, and daughter and son-in-law down South Greer, and had my birthday cake and Jordan's birthday pumpkin pie, and giving him a little spending money, and then my daughter from up in Michigan sent him a couple of gifts, and one of them was a German Tiger tank. So I get the picture this morning, and here Jordan is. He's 13 yesterday. His is the 21st, mine's the 22nd. And anyways, there he is. He's got this remote-controlled Tiger tank, and I think some of the money I gave him went to buy a German World War II helmet. Maybe when he gets older, he can use that to when he's riding his Harley Davidson. You know, I see them guys using those Nazi helmets. Shoot. But it was kind of funny to see him in that. And I talked to Chad earlier. He's up at the camp. And, boy, he's chilling out now. Bill, you sent me a picture of some spaghetti and meatballs cooking on the wood stove. And Bernice watched that little video. And then he sent me a video of him mixing up a cocktail. And he had a DVD of Clint Eastwood and all of his movies to the last 3 hours. That's about as far uptown as you can get, ain't it, Jerry? In for DJC and Gerald TR.
Sounded like a bad deal there, Tom. I always enjoyed two of Clint's movies. I always got a kick out of that. One of them was Kelly's Heroes, the other one was Where Eagles Land, the one that's got Richard Burton in it. I always enjoyed those two. They were, I think I just gotten out of high school when both of those, or about to get out of high school when both those two were made. And I remember going to the theater and seeing those. Those always took people. They weren't real serious movies, but they were good. I enjoyed them. I'm not into the real serious stuff. I like the old black and white stuff from the 40s, but a lot of stuff that's out now, I don't care for it much. I watch it because the kids do, but other than that, it just didn't really interest me that much. Well, I'm glad Gail and Angie are both doing a little better. It sounds good that they didn't have to go to the hospital or anything like that, did they? In for DJC Friday.
BHM. No, Jay, they just were feeling, like they had a sinus infection and went to the doctor and got tested, and Angie's come back positive, and then about 2 days later, Gail got feeling like she had a sinus cold and went and tested, and she had it, so they've been both just sitting at home for the last week, but no, they're doing fine, though. I appreciate you asking. Well, I've arrived at Tractor Supply, so I'm going to go see if I can't get this propane tank filled, and I'll be back here shortly. M4WHM. I'll be clear.
Well, thank God they had their shots. Bill, I heard that if you had your shots in the booster, that it was 90% effective at keeping you out of the hospital for sure. Well, that's good to hear. See you in a little bit, Bill. M4WHM. N0TR. And Jerry, I just went and got me a can of one of them miniature cans of ginger ale. And I got some whole fancy cashews here.
That's what I drink. I have a little ginger ale. Sometimes they mix a little bourbon in with mine. not often like I used to, but I love cashews and pecans and that sort of stuff, but my dental issues, I have to be careful with them. I don't eat damn nuts and stuff like that like I used to. I used to love them. But, you know, it's just one of those things. That's a good afternoon snack. And I like ginger ale. I'm finding the diet ginger ale in that small can is getting kind of difficult. So I've been having to get the sugared ones, which is, you know, which is okay, but I'd rather have the diet ones.
Well, Jerry, I get sick if I drink anything that's diet, and that's no joke. It makes me sick in my stomach. I just can't take it, and I tried all the different ones years ago, and I know I picked up one of them Coke Zeros down at the kids' the other day, and man, they just about make me barf. But this small can of ginger ale, we buy those, and I think they're getting up around $3 or so now for, you could get six of them, that was two and a half for a while, and I think Bernice said this 10-pack was a little over $3, so we just got the 10-pack. Excuse me. And I keep them in the fridge down here, and they're about 34 degrees. Boy, that's really good. Now, I got some light beer in there, too, and once every few weeks or so, we'll share a Michelob Light. And, man, it's so cold, and I pour it in one of them frosting glasses. Boy, like I said, that's about as far uptown as you can get.
Yeah, I must have been conjoined twins, because that's what I do. I'd either get a Michelob Light or either a Coors Light with a 16-ounce, because it has a resealable cap. Yeah, I'll drink about 8 ounces out of one and leave the rest of it. My wife didn't drink beer, though, but she drinks wine every once in a while. But that's what I do. But I get those little 7-ounce canned ginger. I think I got a can of dried down in the fridge or Schweppes, but one of the two. And that's what I do. I just take a 7-ounce can. I also got the little 6 or 7 ounce Pepsis that are made with real sugar in there, the little cans of those, and I'll drink one of those every once in a while too. But yeah, I tell you that the artificial sweeteners, yeah, those things are not. I mean, I think they're okay for somebody has to watch their sugar like I did for a while. I don't drink them very often, but I don't drink diet drinks either much at all. But that stuff will give some people fits, though. It's just, I know my wife drinks it, but she drinks, maybe one every other day or something like that. It doesn't bother her any, but some people get a terrible headache. And some of the ingredients they use in those things, they're not very good for you anyway. Actually, if you control your sugar content, regular sugar is better for you than they are.
Jerry, and then they tell you 20 years later it'll give you cancer. Kind of like saccharin. People drank gallons of that for years. I don't know if they still put it in there or not, but even that aspartame in that. Now, I can use artificial sweetener in my coffee, and it don't bother me. One of those little packets of it. I don't understand that, because in a cola, which I don't hardly drink any cola, but I'll drink one of these 7.5 ounce ginger ales, sometimes once a day, sometimes not for several days. And it's just great. But I don't understand why it don't bother me in my coffee, but it bothers me in the soda pop.
I tried several ones. I tried the stevia stuff, and it just didn't have a good taste in the coffee, so I went back to, we've been using Splenda in the coffee for a number of years, and I think it works better. It doesn't leave an aftertaste in coffee like some of them do. I tried the stevia for a while, but it just didn't have a pin left. The coffee didn't taste very good to me. But I don't have to eat a lot of. I used to have a sweet tooth. It must have gone with some of the other ones. I guess because I don't eat as many sweets as I did at one time. But I put one Splenda in the morning with some artificial, with some Night Dairy creamer. And that does me. I drink one cup a day. Sometimes I drink cup of decaf in the evening, but not, you know, only when it's cold, like maybe today or something. I may drink one about 6 or 7 in the evening, but I'm usually just one cup a day guy now, but I used to drink a lot more of it than that.
I didn't drink coffee until I was over 40. I didn't even like the smell of it. Now I love it. And she buys, by the way, she uses that Steven, but I use Splenda. That's the little yellow packet. I guess it's Splenda. Pretty sure it is. And even in the restaurants, if they give you the pink ones, they don't bother me. But, we're just alike there too, Jerry. I drink one packet of that Splenda and a teaspoon full of that artificial dairy stuff. And I'll drink, when I get up in the morning, brush my teeth, I'll have one cup of coffee and two Aldi's cookies. They're about an inch and a quarter in diameter. And we'll buy 8 or 10 packages of them when they have them and put them in the cabinet. And I have two of a morning with my cup of coffee, and then I drink a cup of coffee with my breakfast, which I had eggs and sausage and toast with some of Bernice's homemade raspberry jelly. Chad sent me a video of him up there, and he had spaghetti and meatballs there cooking on that wood stove. And last night he sent me a video and he says, "Eat your heart out, old man." And it was eggs and sausage and that. And I said, "That's terrible." And he said, "Yeah." And he sent me a picture back I sent him the other day of biscuits and gravy and sausage and that, which he was over here one day and had that, and he was crazy about it because Bernice made the biscuits homemade and that. And so he was getting even with me.
Dealing breakfast back and forth. Yeah, I usually have a packet of grits and a couple pieces of link sausage in the morning. That's usually what I have for breakfast. Sometimes I'll drive down and get a ham and cheese and egg croissant or something like that. Maybe once a week, or even, you know, not that, maybe once a week. Used to do it pretty often, but now maybe once a week I'll go down and go to Burger King. They have one down close to us, and I know the folks there, and when they see me drive up, you know, they already start fixing it, so it's easy just to drive up. It's not very busy there either. But I used to not eat anything for breakfast for years, and since I've been retired, I started eating it again. Now, I think I feel better during the day, and also keeps me from snacking too much during the day and the afternoon as well. But, we've been using Splenda for a long time. I tried the Stevia. The Stevia just didn't, Stevia's expensive too now, but that stuff just I didn't like the taste in a particular coffee we used. Neither one of us particularly cared for the taste of it, so we've been sticking with Splenda now. So we tried it for several months and decided I wouldn't, you know, drinking enough stuff that had any diet sweetener in it to be worried about, so I went back to my old standby.
With the man on the mountain. Well, Jerry, and that's what Bernice made for her breakfast this morning. Was one of those that you described, sausage and egg and cheese on it, and biscuit on a English muffin. Looked good, but I don't know. I like my sausage and eggs or bacon and eggs. Bacon's out of this world now, though, price-wise. But we still have it now and then. But we've settled on Jimmy Dean sausage. And, boy, it's got just a tiny bit of spices in it. And, oh, man, it's probably more. I don't know, Jerry, on the price. We get it over at Sam's or Costco's. I think Sam's. We haven't been to Costco in a while, but Bernice likes Sam's anyways. And, oh, that Jimmy Dean sausage is worth the extra money if it does cost extra.
JC Friday, well, that's what I get. I just get the ones that basically already, probably already cooked or something. I don't know. That I get them at Sam's a good bit cheaper than they are at Walmart. Sam's has been out of them the last couple of times we went by there. But I think you get 32 in a box. And I eat two in the morning. Sometimes I'll get a wild hare and, you know, have breakfast in the evening too sometimes. But it's always good. It's not too spicy, and it's real sausage too. It's not, you know, that turkey sausage stuff. I can't, if it's going to be turkey, I want it like regular turkey. I don't want to have a hamburger turkey or sausage turkey or any of that other stuff. My sausage is pork and my hamburger is beef.
Yeah, you got that right. It'll be a cold day and you know where whenever I eat some of that artificial meat that they got at some of these burger joints now. I can't imagine it. But the world's kind of crazy anymore. Well, she just buys a big tube of it. It's, oh, not huge. I can't tell you how much it weighs. Probably 2 or 3 pounds. And then she just slices it. But, oh, boy. It's really, really great. So is that Jimmy Dean's that you buy there at Sam's? I guess it's already in patties you're describing.
It's just Jimmy Dean's regular, and this, and what I buy is in links. It's just, I think it's got 16 to a package. I think they sell it where it's got like 32 or something like that in two different packages. Just, yeah, they're sealed up pretty well, so you can pick a couple out, put them back in a bag. They're refrigerated. Or you could freeze them, I guess. And, you know, like I said, I'll eat two of those. I'm the only one that really eats it, so we wouldn't. And I just put mine. I got an old Panasonic. I guess they still make it. It's got a flash express. It's like a toaster oven. And it will actually. But you can put a couple of those, either a couple of patties or a couple of those links in there and put them in a little aluminum tray. And those things will fry up about like they do in a regular pan. They're brown and everything. So that's the way I do mine. Because like I said, it's just more. I'd hate to have to break out a frying pan for just no more than I eat. And I make a big mess when I cook too. When Lynn cooks, it's always turns out to be a big mess with frying, getting everything everywhere. So we just try to minimize it as much as possible. But I like the links a little bit better than the patties. But I used to enjoy the patties pretty well too. But the links cook faster. I can cook them in about 5 minutes in the Flash Express, and they're ready to go. And by then, I got my water from the grits hot, and I'm ready to roll and have my coffee ready.
Chef Jerry. Oh, shoot. Well, Bernice loves to bake and cook. Boy, when she does these shrimp, there's flour everywhere, it seems like. In the same way with onion rings. Oh, she makes the best onion rings I've ever ate on earth. And we always have extras because she says it's probably one of the highest profit things they use at these restaurants because, my gracious, one onion makes a ton of onion rings, and so we always take them over to Tim, my neighbor. And he don't care if they're cold or hot or otherwise, but I always run them over there while they're still a little bit warm. You know, he nuts about them. He'll sit there and drink his beer and eat onion rings, Jerry.
See, I like them made with Vidalia onions. The other onions are a little strong for my stomach these days. It used to not bother me, but I won't hardly pass up a good onion ring. There's some that, you know, they just make the batter too thick on them, and those I don't care for like some of the restaurants do, but there are a couple of them that don't have a lot of breading on them, and they are good. And Lynn likes to fry green tomatoes, and she does a great job of that. We slice them real thin. They got to be, the tomatoes actually had to be green. If they start turning white, they're not good fried. But if they're green, man, I mean, they're great. You know, when tomatoes just start coming in, I love those things. I like them where they're nice and tart and don't have a lot of breading on them. Just fry them in the pan.
Well, you know, I start to pick up a bag of onions over there. She said she wanted onions, and she was looking at something else, and she said, no, I want them sweet onions, not those. And so I'm sure that was the Vidalias. But we tried those fried green tomatoes this year, and it was delicious. And then she pickled some, and my gracious, they tasted like pickles. I mean, it was really great. And we'd never tried either one of them before. Might have been you put the bug in my ear. And I think I tried them at a restaurant, and it was good. But we so rarely ever go out to eat. And now with this Omicron out there, I ain't going out to eat until it gets over the peak. But we're not much on eating out anyways, very seldom. We'll go to a little Rebel here or something like that. As far as going to something like Red Lobster, that I think we've been to Red Lobster once in the last 12 years. and I like shrimp and the like, but you know what? Denise makes better shrimp than they make.
Poor DJC Friday, yeah, and probably about a tenth of the price too, even for the good ones. Yeah, most of the shrimp that I eat, you know, we cook them here, but you know, the ones you buy, most of them are overcooked. The shrimp they serve at the galley down there at Port Michelle's are really good. They're expensive though, but they don't take just a minute to cook shrimp. Most people overcook them because it's so tough, you can't hardly chew them. The key to it is just getting them in and getting them out in a hurry and then cooling them off, unless you're gonna fry them, of course. But yeah, I love shrimp, especially if they're good, especially if they're Gulf shrimp. You don't see them very often. They're usually pretty expensive when you do find them, the medium size, the large ones. But yeah, the key to the fried green tomatoes is just get them when they're, you know, if they got any white in them at all, don't use those tomatoes. Find the ones that are totally green. And cut them thin. And Lynn uses a mixture of cornmeal and I think half and half cornmeal and flour. And sometimes I've seen people do it, and she likes it that way. I haven't tried it that way. Sometimes people put a little pimento cheese on top of them too, if you like that sort of thing.
Yeah, it sounds good, Jerry. Well, we really love this. Shrimp from over at Ingalls. It's fresh caught North Carolina shrimp. And, you know, they used to have something like that over at the Little Rebel, and it was like $9.95. I think it's about $12 now, but they went to a different vendor, and it just sucked. And it's like you get at the grocery store, little bitty shrimp and a pound of batter on them. And so I just quit ordering them over there. We usually just eat a chicken fried steak or whatever it is. Bernice, I just tell her to order mine, and we get a salad, and that's good enough. But they sure run the shrimp business over there, as far as I'm concerned. And I really loved it. But these ones we get at Ingalls, you can get a pound of them. And Jerry, I think they're about $16 a pound or 15 something. But we get two meals out of it, and you can't eat over about five of them. I mean, they're big, and then she freezes the ones that we don't eat. She was saying today that if we bought like a pound and a half, we could feed the boys down south, and Amy and Scott, excuse me, my son-in-law, and make a meal for us all just out of about a pound and a half. And heck, you go cooking a good steak or something, you're going to pay more than that for steaks for everybody, you know.
I work with a guy that's been, she's been back in the 70s. I work with a guy that was working with one of the textile plants. He was an NC State graduate, and he was an engineering graduate maybe. But anyway, he decided to get out of the textile business, and he went back to somewhere on the North Carolina coast and started. He was doing oysters and shrimp, you know, doing it, had a shrimp boat, and he's the one that kind of got me started up. Sometimes he would bring in, he'd get one of his friends to drive up from the coast and bring us fresh shrimp and and oysters too. We used to just get us a bushel of oysters and steam them on the grill, have a big grill and steam them. Man, those things were good. And the shrimp, they're fresh, they're good. Most of these are probably frozen, when they get them. But I think it may depend on how quick they freeze them. But I tell you, the fresher the better on shrimp. And if they're fresh, they'll cook. And if they're room temperature or close, I'd say if they're 40 degrees or so even, they'll cook. And you can cook them in like 30 seconds or less. You just have to watch them, because we used to put ours in a little bit at a time and then get them in, get back in a hurry. If you get too many in there, there's going to be one that's going to stay in there too long and get tough. But as soon as they start to turn, just go ahead and get them out there. And they can see, of course, they'll keep on cooking after you get them out of the water. If you're boiling them or if you're frying them the same way, they'll keep on cooking for another minute or two. But I always have light shrimp. Always been one of my favorite seafoods. I got a developed taste for oysters about 40 years ago, and I like oysters now, too. Of course, I prefer my oysters steamed now rather than fried. But if they're fried right, they're good. But I prefer them steamed, where they're not quite so liquidy. And of course, a lot of people won't eat them anyway, but we like them. Everybody in the family does, as a matter of fact.
With reference to oysters, the only thing I like about them is if Bernice puts them in oyster stew. And I try not to look at them when I'm eating them. she makes good oyster stew. I used to take that to work when I worked at the wheel plant. And we had a very large break room because we had a huge maintenance staff. And if I'd open that thermos jug up, about 60 or 70% of them guys would get up and walk out. they couldn't stand. I still laugh. And I'd do it just for honoriness, and then just open that up, start eating them. And then I'd take a spoon and pick one up and say, you want to share? And they're gross little characters to look at. But my brother's wife served me some of those on a half shell one time. He told me they was cooked and it was raw. Oh, my gracious. Well, Bernice just brought me down some orange sweet peppers and some, usually just green peppers, but these are orange, and some sliced carrots and sliced cauliflower and some celery with stuffed English cheese in it and a little bit of ranch dressing to dip it in, Jerry. Can you beat that?
Well, I'm going to have to jump out of here in a second time. I wanted to get on for a little while and wake myself up. Now, you may be hungry now. I might have to go find me something to eat now, I suppose. But I'm not sure what's in the refrigerator. I'll have to check it out. But good talk with you, and we'll talk to you later on, probably. And of course, and hope y'all have a nice afternoon. Stay warm. It's warmed up. I can tell it's warmed up a little bit. The sun is coming in through the window now, and the room upstairs is decent now. 72, probably 73. So I can go back downstairs and freeze until I get my new furnace in. Furnace AC in. They're gonna put it in on Wednesday. I'm anxious to see how well it does. Nice thing about these guys is once they put it in, you don't pay them until about a week later. You don't pay them on the spot. They want to make sure it's good. And the guy that owns the business comes by, and he comes by and checks it out too. But this will be the second time I've done business with him. I've been real happy, and hopefully this is gonna be a good deal too. I can't take the cold time. I'm too old. I'll talk to you later, 73. Have a good afternoon. N0TR, N4DJC.
Okay, Jerry, I had one question. Is that, are you on propane or natural?
Natural gas run has been here. We originally had a natural gas furnace for the upstairs and the downstairs. When the downstairs went out about 15 or 16 years ago, I converted to a heat pump, and I just never have been real happy with it. It's a nice one. It's about a 16 seer, I think, train. Variable speed air handle and all that sort of thing. But here in the last 4 or 5 years, I guess it's just our age. It's just, even though it's blowing air at about 80 or 85 degrees, it may not be blowing it that warm. it's a struggle to keep 72 a lot of times. And the guy said, he looked at it, he said, well, it may be, it's not a leak or anything. And he said, it's just, he said, even 16 sphere technology is not, you know, then is not as good. He said, they're not as good as they are now. They're still, they're just as efficient. He said, but they handle things a little differently. And I'm just going, I like the furnace, and I'm getting a 92% efficient furnace, too. Yeah, I just like to feel that 140-degree air coming out of the vents.
You and me both. Well, we don't have natural, and I think when I topped off the propane tank, it's just for the Generac. It's a 325-gallon tank or something, but it takes 200 and some gallons. And I topped it off just to be on the safe side, and I think it was 356 a gallon. So I had a buddy. What, Bernice? You see? Yeah, I had a buddy that could equate the differences in it and all that. And that was an HVAC man up in Kansas, but I don't stay in touch with him anymore. But at any rate, I think it'd be much more expensive than natural gas. And if we had natural gas, here, I'd go with it. The technology in them is quite sophisticated now and safe. My son-in-law, last year, he had his generator worked on. And they live up there in Michigan. And the power went out, and he went out and started it up and plugged it into this receptacle that I installed for him and shut off the main breaker. And he'd had somebody repair that thing. And I think that guy messed up the wiring in it, you know, because you got to be within, one or two cycles at the most to be in sync with it and everything in the house. And it knocked out two different circuit boards in this brand new split heating system that they had for upstairs and downstairs, and you could control them separately. That cost a bunch of money there, Jerry. And not only did he try starting it once, and it didn't seem right, he started it again, my daughter said. Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't know how many thousand that cost him, but I'm sure it was a couple of thousand.
The one I got for the upstairs is only 80% efficient. It's not, I guess, since it's not, since I have a heat pump, I could use it. My gas bill averages about $20 a month, something like that, maybe. And for downstairs, my electric bill, averages around $70 a month. So it's not, we don't use a lot anyway because the house is just small. So, like I thought, I said, natural gas is expensive. It's about a dollar a therm now, I think. But, I'd rather stay warm. If it cost me a little bit more, I'd rather stay warm. I could always turn it down at night, which is something I had been doing, but it's just not, it's not keeping us warm enough. It runs all the time, too, almost. It seems like I think if you keep them at 68 degrees or 69 or something like that, I think they work fine. But, some of these old ones, they just, even though they're supposed to be efficient, they struggle to maintain 71 or 72 degrees when it's under 35 degrees, maybe even 30.
Right, yeah, that's true, Jerry. And in the old days, when I was in HVAC school, they'd start going nonlinear at 47 degrees. And so they used to advertise, oh, you get two units out for every unit in, and they was talking wattage. And, that was true down to 47, but in Kansas, that don't amount to much with the temperatures getting as cold as they did. So heat pump wasn't a first selection up there by any means. But my high efficiency gas heat that we had put in the house, it was like 92 or 94% efficient. Back then they had those Lennox pulses, and but they were noisy suckers from everything I read about them. I never did work on one, but I had a buddy that had one. But that was a going thing, but it was a lot of money too. Well, Jerry, good luck with that. We're total electric, but Bernice bakes a lot, and our level payment's $194. We don't usually use that much, but I imagine this month we will, Jerry.
That's not bad on a house that size. Not bad at all. That's pretty good. You got an efficient, heat pumps efficient, and insulation is good too, evidently. Otherwise, it'd be 300 or 400 or more. But I'm gonna see what a therm was last year. I know they just went up to about $1, $1.02 this coming, for 2022. I'm gonna see what it was last year, see how much it went up. I'm sure it probably gone up 30-40%, I guess, but I don't know that. I'm assuming it did. Might have been more than that. Well, I'll run, Tom, and talk to you later. 73. Great talking to you as usual. Enjoy your snack this afternoon. I got to go down and scratch me up something now. M4DJC clear.
Okay, Jerry. Sorry to hold you. I'm showing 54 out there on my weather station in the sun with 11 mile an hour gusts and 4 mile an hour constant. And if you feel any better, gas up there in Kansas in that old house we lived in that was built back in the late 20s or 30s, when we left there 12 years ago, it was like $300 a month after we stopped heating with wood. And it was just ridiculous. And then another $100 for electricity. So I can't imagine what it would be like trying to heat one of those old houses now. And it had good insulation in it. But at any rate, we feel very blessed down here on the way Duke Energy does. And I know there's probably a lot of people disagree, but it's about the same price down here now as we were paying up there 12 years ago. Take care, Jerry. N4DJC and 02 are clear.
Hey, Jim Mobile.
Home, Bill, I'm just sitting here eating some celery and carrots and cauliflower dipped in ranch dressing. Hitting 02 are clear. Bill, was that you? It's him in 0TR. No joy, Bill.
JHM, over.
Bill, I had some intermittent QRM there. I don't know if that was you trying to get in or not. It's in 0TR.
All right, well, I don't think it was me. I was on another frequency in Gainesville. I keyed up on it, didn't realize it. Then I flipped over to Greenville, and that's when you answered, so. Yeah, Kevin. Somebody kerchunking or something?
It must have been what it was. They were trying, but it wasn't getting through. Well, I'm just waiting on the dinner call. How long's it going to be before we eat, Bernice? Would you give me a bottle of water from over there? I'll go ahead and take that Nexium. She was just down here for a little bit. Got a picture of my grandson. The daughter up north bought him. Our birthdays were the 21st and the 22nd, so we went down for a big meal at Amy's yesterday. And she bought him a German Tiger tank that he wanted, remote control. So I got a picture of him today, and he was sitting there in a German soldier's helmet playing with his tank.
Well, my good old days of RC control devices, I'm sure they've come a long way in 40 years since I played one.
Well, I would have highly recommended he not buy a Nazi helmet. But I don't think he realizes that, he's just 13, and so I didn't say nothing, but he's a real hoot to look at there, sitting there in that stupid helmet.
Evidently, I'm having some radio issues or either trouble hitting a repeater for some reason, so I'm going to see how this one turns out.
Say it's some radio issues because you were strong that time and good the signal with very little noise in it considering where you're at and mobile, But those other two little glitches I heard in there, I thought you were replying, and it just didn't come through at all.
The first one, I got through talking, and it didn't, it was like I wasn't hitting the repeater. So, you never know. This is an electronic computer, so it could be doing anything.
Truth. I just never heard your rigs do that ever before. 99 times out of 100, it's the thing you move the most, and that would be the microphone or the connections.
And that was the first thing I wiggled was the microphone plug-in, and I got another one just like it in the truck, so I'll swap microphones when I get home and see if that'll move the problem or check one off the list anyway.
Well, I just hear a little scratch in there with your transmissions now, but it's pretty normal. Like I say, due to your location and being mobile, it's not anything out of the ordinary, and it's not alternator whine or anything like that. So you're probably right. It's probably a mic cable.
I'll just play with it and see what I can come up with. Like I said, I could have worse problems, so I'm not gonna complain. Not at all.
Bye there. I forgot already. I was talking to Jerry. We was talking food.
Bye. And topped off a propane tank here next weekend, the field day. And picked up some Mountain Dews, Diet Mountain Dews, and a couple of gallons of distilled water for some of Jana's more rare and expensive plants. And other than that, that's about it. It was just like you had to fight your way through and fight your way out of Walmart. The Tractor Supply, I walked in, told them, hey, I need some propane, and they out the door and had me going in 10 minutes.
You swapped the tank. You didn't actually get a tank filled there, did you?
And they fill it, they charge you by the gallon, I guess, or pound or whatever it is. But if you got a half a tank and you want to top it off, or you got an empty tank or whatever, they look at the date and the certification date on them. As long as they're in date, they'll fill them.
I think they got a ICC number on them. They have to be tested hydroed every 10 years, what most tanks are. But I used to fill them for forklifts back at the wheel plant I worked at. If I wasn't doing nothing else, I'd go out there and fill up propane tanks. I was certified for it. And then I used to run a 30,000-gallon propane generating plant. That was a big tank.
A little bigger than this little
20-pound
tank I got.
Boy, we had three propane generators, and what they did is they took the liquefied propane when it was cold out of that 30,000-gallon tank, and they would turn it into gas. And the way they did that, it looked like scuba tanks, Bill, that were in. There was two scuba tanks in each unit, and they were 70 gallons each, so 210 gallons an hour. And there was a burner in it, like in the old hot water tanks, you know, or like a stove, and it would increase the rate of turning from gas or liquid to gas, because in the cold weather, it just wouldn't turn fast enough to supply that whole big plant, you know, that was like 300,000 square feet. And I ran the mixing house that took care of that. And we worked on it at times. My buddy took a pipe wrench one day and cracked a union, and he didn't have it safety right. And that thing just went like that, and it burned him just like you would have been burnt with a propane torch or something, you know?
Doing a lot of propane. You ever heard the word or the initials BLEVI, BLEVI, It's boiling, liquid, expanding, vapor, explosion. You ever heard of that?
Negative. Never heard of it, Bill.
Also, when I get cold, if a propane tank gets too hot and the pressure relief valve doesn't work as supposed to, you come up with what they call a blevy. And when I was a firefighter back in the late 80s, early 90s, they would show us films of tractor trailers or tractor trailer cars or trains, whatever it was, that had propane. When it caught on fire, if it couldn't get out like it was supposed to, it would finally reach a point where it would just explode. And all the heated gases and everything turned into a giant firebomb. It looked like a mushroom cloud off of a nuclear bomb going off. But it made you think twice about running up to one at a house fire, that's for sure.